You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 221. So today we're going to hear from an industry expert the secret to creating your very own profitable and impactful events. You ready for this? Let's get started. Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Get ready to ramp up your revenue, amplify your impact, and make your mark in the world. This is the show for experts, thought leaders, and service professionals who want to shatter their limits and achieve that next level. You're going to find out from other experts and influencers how they made it. Now, let's get amplified. Hey there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Authority Amplifier Melanie Benson. I'm super excited for today's episode. I'm talking with someone who successfully made the pivot during our pandemic from hosting profitable live events to helping her clients do 50, 60, 100K, even 200K, 300K events using virtual platforms. And there's some great insights in this episode. Whether you've made this pivot, you've been trying to figure out how to do the pivot, or you've been thinking about having your own events and we're waiting for the pandemic to clear to get started, don't. You're going to want to hear what happens in this episode. Now, before we jump in, I want to remind you about a resource I have called The 17 Mistakes You're Making in Your Guest Expert Spots that could be costing you the lead and the client. And I designed this resource to help people who are speaking on stages, who are participating in virtual events or summits. Maybe you've caught onto the rave of podcast guesting, but like 80% of the people I talk to, you tell me, I'm doing all the things I think I'm supposed to be doing and it's not working. I'm not getting the leads. I'm not getting the clients. What am I doing wrong? And I studied what the experts do, what I do that's working for me, and what people are doing without realizing it, subtle little things that are making a huge, costly disconnect for the people on the other side. And it's so easy to fix them if you know what to do differently. So grab my free report at getmagneticmessaging.com/report. Go right to getmagneticmessaging.com/report. We'll also link that up in the show notes to make it super easy for you to tap into a proven strategy to transform these virtual platforms into a goldmine of leads for you and your business. Now, let's hear from our guest expert. Welcome back, Amplifiers. Today, we are going to go behind the scenes with someone who is an expert in the event production and speaking side of things. I want you to learn how to create your own profitable and impactful events. Now, let me introduce you to my guest. Her name is Daniela Burnett, and she's been in the hospitality and special events industry since the age of 16. In addition to providing full event production and services with Encore Elite Events, she's also founded Speakers Need to Speak to provide education, talent management, and guaranteed gigs for speakers and sponsors. She's also a speaker on event and speaker strategies, women's empowerment, networking. She's a coach for speakers, event hosts, vendors, and sponsors. Ultimately, she is a creative force that believes in multiple streams of income and the power of win-win collaboration. Thanks so much for joining me today. I've been really excited to have this conversation with you because I know you are a powerhouse in the speaking and event side of things.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you so much for having me here today. I've been looking forward to this too.
Well, you know, we started this conversation a few weeks back when you were giving me some really extraordinary behind the scenes information about what's happening in our world as we're recording this episode. And, you know, we're in this global pandemic. Those of us who speak and do events and have all of this, you know, way we connect with people in person have now adapted to virtual. And you're telling me about some of the extraordinary things that your clients are experiencing, that you're experiencing with virtual events. So, why do you think right now we as experts and speakers should be hosting our own virtual events?
Well, if you've done events in the past, you know that leveraging your own platform, creating your own platform to grow your community, to get leads, to share your message, to really connect with your people is an excellent way to grow your business. And if you've done events in the past, you've got to adapt them to virtual, because virtual is where we're at right now. We are not going to be back to the in-person space for quite some time. And we're entrepreneurs, we're experts. We don't wait for all the right circumstances before we move forward. We create the right circumstances so that we can move forward. And if you haven't done events in the past, now is a great opportunity to do that, because your risk for hosting an event, your what you need to pay in order to have an event and fund an event is greatly reduced here in the virtual world. And so you should take advantage of that. Dip your toe in the water of events by doing it virtually, and then you can adapt that to in-person when we go back to that.
I love that framework that you just laid on us. It's like so many of us grew up in the world of hosting live events. And now we're in the world of like, okay, let's figure out how to do virtual events. And then when we can do events in person someday, we can adapt them to in real life, IRL, as the young people like to say on their text messages.
Well, it's funny because we used to say, you know, when the pandemic first started, we said live events or virtual events. And that's not really the opposite. You have live versus recorded. You know, we're here and we're recording this, and you're going to, you know, broadcast this to your audience in the very near future. And we're recording it so that we can make sure it's spot on and we can redo it if we needed to. Live, of course, you're in per, you know, you're, it's happening in the moment and it's live. Everything is with your audience and happening in the moment. Virtual is the opposite of in person, not live. So virtual live events are the kind of events that I'm talking about, where you're still in person with your audience, you're engaging, you're getting immediate feedback. That same kind of magic that we got from in person events, you now need to bring to the virtual event to get those same results. And it's happening. It's happening every single day and in big, big ways.
Let's unpack that a little bit, because I know the value of events. You know the value of events. But I want to bring our Amplify community up to speed with what's really possible when we host events. And let me tell you why, Danila, this is so, in my opinion, important. I have people who hear, yeah, I should host an event. Yeah, I should do a summit. Yeah, I should do this. I should do that. But they don't. And they think about the effort instead of the impact and the outcome. Mm-hmm. So what are you seeing is the impact and the outcome that is happening for people who are stepping up and hosting these virtual live events?
Well, I'll just share a couple of examples of some of our clients. Just last 2 weeks ago now, I actually went to Chicago. It was my first on-site event since March. This particular client, we set up a stage there at her home in Chicago. We brought in the AV team and we brought me in. And we did that because we did want the recordings to be of her on a stage. She's going to end up packaging that and repurposing some of that video that we got that day. So we created the event, her very first three-day event. We created it. I was there. All of the audience, though, was around the world. That event generated just under $250,000, her very first three-day event. We have other clients, one-day events, where they are speaking, they're meeting new people, they're networking. They're inviting people into a very, very simple one-day event, a little bit more than a workshop, maybe a 6 or a 7 hour one-day event with breaks and lunch and all that good stuff in it. But where you make an offer at the end of the day, you give great value, great information, you solve a problem within that one day event, and then you make an offer at the end of the day. Typically for a one day event, that might be a $500 offer up to about a $4,000 offer. The sweet spot is somewhere right about $1,500 to $2,000. You can put just 20 to 40 people into a one-day event. Super easy. Make an offer at the end of the day in those numbers that we've talked about. You can very easily have a five-figure day. Hmm. And you can repeat that monthly. You could repeat that every quarter. However that might fit into your marketing or your launch strategy or with your coaching or with your programs, you could literally create another six figures by doing simple one-day events that you've simply invited people to, a very easy yes into your one-day workshop, and generate another six figures for the year.
So, you know what, I am very, I guess I'm going to use the word impressed. Like, that's the word that was coming up for me, is I'm so impressed with the part of your gift of the strategy. Like, I think people recognize the value of events and they do events, but they don't always understand the strategy behind it. And I'm imagining it's the strategy behind it that leads to the profitability. So what are you seeing as like the important pieces that are missing for people when they're not having profitable events?
Well, usually a couple of things that we see, you know, we'll divert it from a bullseye hitting profitability and impact, or hitting a little bit to the left or the right. Hosting an event is kind of like hosting a wedding. We don't do many weddings anymore. We don't do a lot of personal events, but for a long time I did. And I would sit down with brides, and a bride might have been thinking about that event and visioning it since she was, you know, 6 or 7 years old. But just because you can picture something doesn't mean you have all the skills to execute something. And I find that very often with speakers and experts who want to have an event, and they've attended other great events. They've been a speaker on somebody else's stage and they saw the profitability and the impact, but they don't quite understand all of the micro decisions that went into getting that result. And so I think it's really important. The strategy is really everything, because just like, you know, if you're an archer, or, you know, anything that you would aim for, you know that if you're not aiming dead on for that bullseye, just a little bit to the left or the right from the beginning, and you're not going to get that result. And when you're planning an event, you know, if you make a mistake with time or you make a mistake with money, you're not going to get the result that you're looking for. And you're not going to get the impact for the audience when you don't have the right strategy and the right planning in place. So it really does take all of that. It starts with the vision from the event. It goes through the planning. It goes through all those decisions that go up to you making an offer for them to work with you in a more close way and getting more of your goodness and being able to get a result faster or more efficiently by working with you.
That makes sense. You know, I know what a big collaborator you are, and, you know, I have a vision in my mind of what collaboration looks like. Where do you see collaboration really entering into the virtual event space well these days?
Well, so many collaborations going on right now, from the highest levels. You know, I'll mention a couple of names of people that we all know here in the expert space, and you see them working together and speaking on each other's platforms. You know, Pedro Adeo is the hottest name in challenges right now. Yeah, you know, I mean, he is the king of challenges, and you see him speaking on other stages. You know, speaking with people like Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi and Barry Baumgartner, you know, who also speaks about events. And you see at the highest levels, them collaborating and not trying to be the expert of everything, you know, but this person's expertise is the online marketing, this person's expertise is challenges, this person's expertise is mindset or leadership, this person's, you know, is execution. Well, do what the leaders do. You know, so at whatever level you're at, you probably have people around you and people that you collaborate with that bring that into an event. You know, we see summits that are built on that principle where you maybe have a common theme, but then you're bringing in experts that support that theme in different ways. I just spoke on a big event this weekend, and it was all about an easier life online. And we had lots of experts over the course of the weekend and very diverse. Like nobody was in the same lane as anybody else, but there were probably 25 people who spoke and taught over the course of the weekend, and just bringing all of that knowledge together to be a win for the audience worked out very, very well.
You know, I love collaboration. For me, it feels like, especially if you're newer at this, or maybe you don't have a list, or you don't have, like you feel like you have a community established. Like I think collaboration, at least in my opinion, is a great accelerator to being able to create a meaningful audience. And I'm just kind of curious from your point of view and the experience that you've had up to now, is there a good time and a not a good time, you know, in terms of your goals to do a collaboration with other speakers?
I think you can collaborate at whatever level of business you're at. When we talk about speaking, I talk a lot about collaboration. Social media lives are a great free way to get your message out there. And one of the ways that I talk about getting more speaking opportunities is to collaborate with someone else who you share the same audience. You have the same ideal client, but you serve them in different ways. For example, I speak and I work with clients on speaking and events. Books are a natural partner to speaking and to events. So I have several people that they've invited me to speak to their authors about what to do after you get the book. Well, you speak, you go do events, you get the message of your book out there. And in turn, I've had them come in and speak to my speakers about the benefits of a book. Great collaboration. We don't compete with each other, but we both serve the same audience in a different way. So that is a great way to find speaking opportunities, but also a great way to find sponsors for your event. You know, sponsorship, of course, can help you offset some of the costs or the marketing costs for your event, and can open you up to their audience as well, and provide valuable content. You know, I'm not the expert in everything. You know, my husband might disagree with that, and he might think that to say that I'm the expert in everything, but I know that I'm not in business. So I definitely love to collaborate with people who bring a level of expertise that I don't, because I want to give maximum value to my audience at all times.
Yeah, I agree. And I personally, I think it's a great way to borrow influence from other influencers. You know, it's like when we're aligning with other really big name speakers or people who have known expertise or credibility in certain areas, like it's a great way to kind of tap into and co-create a whole nother level of authority with your event.
Yeah, I have an event. It will be coming up next year. We haven't settled on the date for it, but it's going to be with an expert who teaches about the actual speaking, the speaking coaching part and creating your presentation from the stage, which is kind of the before what I do. We also have another expert who helps you build courses or your program. And then of course, I'm the expert in the getting gigs and creating events. So we're going to be, it's a nice flow for the audience to hear from the three of us and see how that's a great, you know, through line on how to create profit and impact. So we're going to collaborate on an event next year, all of us inviting people to the event, all of us, you know, sharing the heavy lifting of delivering content and providing value. And then we'll be able to make people an offer that takes advantage of all three of our expertise. It's a great example of collaboration.
I agree. Well, coming back to this idea of virtual events, whether you're doing it solo as the featured expert or you're doing it as a collaboration, I would imagine there's probably a series of challenges, which we might even just begin with technology, right? So we have a whole new set of technology that most of us are learning to put on these kinds of events. Maybe you can kind of help us prepare for some of these challenges and, you know, how we don't let them derail us in the process.
Yeah, definitely don't let the technology derail you. You know, it, and events really run the gamut from very low tech to very, very high tech. And I think, you know, it's important to have a conversation with somebody like me, you know, and an event planner who understands kind of the whole production side of things, because you may not need as much technology as you think, or you may need a little bit of support. You definitely don't want to skimp on the technology. You want the exact right amount of technology for the result that you're looking for and for the size of your audience. One of the things that I knew nothing about before, you know, COVID and planning events virtually, was the use of a dashboard, you know, and that's something I now have somebody on my team that helps us create custom dashboards to make it really easy for your attendees to navigate your event. Great for use in a 3-day event where you might have multiple rooms or breakout rooms or help desk or coaching zones or sponsors with booths. You know, it's a great place to kind of put all that together. For a smaller 1-day event where it's really just a you know, maybe one Zoom meeting or another platform that you might use for that meeting, you don't need that. You might need a full-on audio-visual company. If you've got a lot of music, a lot of video, a lot of slides, a lot of multiple presenters, if you want a particular look from the video afterwards, if you want multi-camera, you know, obviously that's a little bit more advanced and you're going to bring in a company specifically for that. For the easy workshop that I was talking about early, you know, for a speaker to kind of step out there and do that 1-day event, usually that can be done with very little technology and we can do that in-house. We don't need all the bells and whistles. It is a little bit of a gray area here that we call technology, because it may be something that your planning and production company can handle. It may be an outside audiovisual company that you bring in to provide services, or we now see studios that are popping up all over the country where you don't have to put together what you need. You can actually go there and do your event at a studio. So, you know, it's important to kind of have that vision. And again, you want the exact right amount of technology for your event. Not more, not less, because you want the right results, but you also don't want to, you know, spend your money needlessly bringing in resources that you don't need.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think, you know, that's the power of having someone who's an expert in this type of event planning, is you know the ins and outs. You know, and I've talked to people who are like, oh, you have to use this technology for a virtual event. And I'm like, God, that seems like a lot. It's like, I don't know, really. So, but you know, you brought up Zoom, and there's a common phrase that's kind of like making the rounds right now, Zoom fatigue. And, you know, I think it would be really invaluable for our community to hear a couple of ideas about, like, if you're going to have an event, do you have a trick or two that would help people stay out of that video fatigue or Zoom fatigue of those marathon long events that they're just sitting in front of a screen?
Well, a couple of things and a couple of tips from the event host's perspective, and then a couple of tips from the attendees' perspective. If you are an event host and you're having an event, You have to keep that in mind. You have to think about the attendee. Just like in an in-person event, one of the techniques that I always gave my staff during an in-person event is to let them know that when I walk into a room and we have attendees in front of us and the stage in front, every time I would walk into the room, or, you know, every 30 minutes, I do the five senses check, because I want to make sure that I'm thinking about the event from the attendee's perspective. Does the room smell good? Is the room comfortable temperature wise? Is the sound, does it sound good? Does it look good? You know, am I comfortable in my chair? You know, those are kind of the five senses that I would go by for an in-person event. For a virtual event, obviously some of those you have no control over. Your attendees are in their own environment. So what you want to do to make sure that they're comfortable is make sure that your part of it is an accent to them and is giving them the opportunity to be comfortable. So you want to have your start times and your end times make sense for where your attendees are at. You know, we have attendees now coming from all over the world and dealing with different time zones. So know where your audience is, and you might make adjustments to your in and out times based on where the majority of your audience is. When you're planning your day, plan for people to take breaks. I don't think it's reasonable to go more than about 90 minutes without scheduling a break, even if it's just that 10 or 15 minute, you know, we're going to take a bio break, get up, stretch, rehydrate. Because if you don't give them the opportunity, then they're going to take the opportunity and they might miss some valuable content. So go ahead and plan for that. Plan for them taking a lunch or taking a dinner, giving a longer period of time where they can go get a meal. If you have VIPs, you might even consider including the meal by sending them a gift certificate for DoorDash or Grubhub. We've got some creative ideas on how we've even, you know, created that meal experience. Make sure that you also plan your day so that there's a change in the energy that's coming from your virtual stage. If you have a speaker, or if you yourself, if you're a little bit more matter of fact, you might want to bring in some entertainment or another speaker who's a little more high energy. You might want to bring in somebody who does a movement exercise or a meditation exercise with your audience so that there's some variety in the energy coming from your virtual event. So it keeps your audience engaged, it keeps them interested, and it keeps them from just really dropping into that Zoom fatigue where it just feels like they're being talked at for the entire day and they don't get that break in energy. They don't get that break to stand up and walk around and move. So I think you really can affect that and make your virtual event more pleasing. And then hope that they, you know, shut the door and can get away from the kids and the dog and whatever else might be happening in the house, you know, to fully participate a little bit. So those are some of my suggestions. And then the other suggestion from the event host standpoint is there's some really creative ideas to have experiences. We've done things like scavenger hunts, karaoke, magic shows. We did a guided paint party for one VIP experience, you know, where we mailed out things to the attendees. You know, that can definitely be a great thing to do for engagement, is mailing them something that brings them into the event. For that, it was our VIP experience, and we called it Canvas and Cocktails, and it was four speakers, and we had them paint their big Y in graffiti on a graffiti wall as a canvas. We mailed them the paints and the brushes and the canvas and everything, and then had the artists go through the activity. And it was a ton of fun. And those guests didn't feel like they had Zoom fatigue at that time. So that, you know, you definitely want to take that into account when you're planning your agenda. And then the other side is an attendee. When you are given a break, take it. walk away, stand up from your computer. I know it's so tempting at that moment to say, okay, now let me check my email. Let me check my phone. You may need to do a little bit of that, but I encourage you as much as possible, don't take that break time with more technology. Actually step away, step outside if you can, get a little bit of fresh air, and take advantage of that time. You know, make sure you're in a comfortable room. Make sure you've got good lighting, that you're not, you know, your eyes aren't straining looking at the computer all day. Use Zoom lighting so that, you know, you look good on the camera as an attendee, as well as, you know, the host is. But take that time and pre-plan for your meals. You know, if you know that it's going to be a busy event day and you're an attendee and you don't want to miss any of the good information, you know, go ahead and pack a lunch, if you will. You know, pack it, have it ready to go, you know, a nice salad or something that you can grab quickly, so that you can keep your energy up while you're on a long event day.
Yeah, so there's a bit of self-care that we have to be mindful of as a participant.
Yep. And my this is my favorite self-care, because I'm obviously on Zooms and doing events, you know, nearly every day, either hosting events with clients, hosting our own events, or, you know, talking with potential clients and speakers. So my treat, I finally gave in and bought myself a hot tub. So at the end of many, many days, you know, I slough it off. I go out and sit in the hot tub and relax those muscles that might have gotten tense from sitting in a chair all day. But, you know, you can do the same with a bubble bath or a nice shower. You know, think about what you need before and after events to get your body moving, relax those muscles that have been in one place all day. And just make sure you are taking care of yourself.
I'm really hoping my husband doesn't hear this episode, because he's been dying to get a hot tub. He'll be like, see, it's self-care. I love those examples. And I really appreciate you kind of taking the time to kind of lay those things out. Because I think if we're going to do an event, you know, just we're way past the just sit in front of the Zoom or, you know, whatever video system you're going to use and, you know, give a full day, you know, of content. Like, we're so past that. This idea of weaving in experiences and connection opportunities and breakouts. And I mean, you know, we're having our first retreat for our inner circle in the spring in February. And this has been very intentional. It's like, we're really looking at like, how do we create experiences that make people not just learn, but leave feeling amplified? And I would really encourage you, as you're listening in and you're thinking about having a virtual event, yes, the brilliance of your speakers is important, but the experience that you create around your event is what people remember. And, you know, Danella, you're such an expert at this. And I know you're a great resource for people who want to have an event or they want to learn how to speak at more events, either one. Before we go on, because I've got a couple last questions for you, but maybe you can share if you've got a great resource that might help people get to know your work and, you know, be able to reach out and learn from you more.
Awesome. Well, you know, a lot of people, a lot of our event hosts are speakers first and foremost. So, you know, I brought a gift because this is just helpful if you're a speaker looking to be prepared to be positioned and profitable from the stage, or even if you're an event host, to think about how do you make it a better experience for the speakers you might be bringing in. So it's the Speakers Crush It From the Stage checklist. And it's all the things about getting ready and getting ready to get ready on the stage, whether it's virtual or in person. And then some things to do afterwards. And so that's available at www.speakersneedtospeak.com/giveaway. speakersneedtospeak.com/giveaway. And what that will do is when you get that checklist, it will also take you to my calendar link. So the checklist is helpful if you're a speaker, but whether you're a speaker or looking to be an event host, go ahead and grab that. And then grab a time on my calendar. You know, I have set aside specific times just for those giveaway calls, because I know that they are, you know, the initial consultation, and we set up 10 of those every month. So grab it, get on the calendar quick, because they do fill up. But I do want to have a conversation with you and see how you can take advantage of this virtual world. You know, we don't know what's going to happen next. We certainly did not know March 13th what was going to happen next and how quickly things were going to change. And if you'd asked us then if we would still be virtual now as we're nearing the end of the year, I don't think any of us saw that in March or April. You know, as the spring went on and into summer, I think we all started to get an idea that this was going to last a lot longer than we originally thought. But, you know, we don't know what is truly in the future for virtual events versus getting back together in person. So take advantage of the opportunities that we know exist today. Virtual events are happening. They are great opportunities to get out on more stages, great opportunities to be seen, and great opportunities to start having events if you've never done that before.
I agree. Regardless of what happens, virtual events are here to stay, and they're a powerful platform if you decide you're not going to do something in person for a while or to tap into a global market. So I see us having a hybrid for a while. And I think there's a lot of people who in March said, oh, I'll wait and have my event in September. I have a feeling as we get into the new year, we're going to see some more of that. Oh, I'm going to have my event in person in August. And they're going to be like, well, maybe it's going to be online. So I don't think it's going away anytime soon. So yeah, I will link that. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, you know, and hybrid, you mentioned that. You know, hybrid is going to have its own set of challenges when people try that. It is very difficult for most speakers to speak to an audience on the camera and an audience in the room. So there are some skills that, you know, it's going to take speakers to up-level as well as event hosts. So if you don't wait for that, get good in the virtual. If you've been good in the in-person before, get good in the virtual. And you know, we may see some hybrids as time goes on, but, you know, that's going to be a new set of skills that we need to learn and a new set of challenges. And I know that the entrepreneurs and the event experts that will meet that challenge when it comes, but again, take advantage of what we know is working now.
Yeah, I agree. And I was just going to say, I'll link up the URL for Danella's giveaway, her gift, up in the show notes. So that'll be easy to find there as well. Now, I always like to end my conversations learning a little bit more about you on a personal level, because obviously you're a business owner, you're a leader, you're, you know, establishing your own expertise, and you obviously know what you're doing, but that probably came with some hard-earned learnings. What was the boldest move you had to make to get to this level of expertise?
So in my bio, you know, it said I've been working in the industry since I was 16. I actually fell in love with the industry when I was 9. I found Julia Child on television, and I fell in love with her and her passion for food and hospitality. And I told my parents I wanted to be a chef. So I do have a culinary degree. I worked in the catering industry for a very long time, and the food and kitchen and catering is what led me to special events, and then personal events led to corporate events. And now for the last 10 years, I've been in the, you know, kind of expert type of events, more business events. But I had a catering company here in Georgia, and one of the boldest moves that I had to make, because food had been a part of, you know, so much of what I had done in the event space, and food really saved my family. In 2008, we had a 6-month-old and a 2-year-old here at the house. And I was a stay-at-home mom for 2 years, thoroughly enjoying, you know, being an older mom with my babies. And 2008, my husband came home with no job, like so many others, you know, affected by the recession of 08. And so we launched my catering company with no capital out of the kitchen of my church. at the end of 2008, I like to say with three employees, me, myself, and I. And I started going to networking events, and I built that company up to nearly $1 million catering company with 28 employees. And as the business grew and I started doing national events, I realized that I was at a fork in the road and I could not hold on to the catering and to the cooking, which did not travel, obviously, if I was going to travel and make a big splash at the national and international level with events. So I sold my catering division to an employee and I walked away from that had been, you know, part of my life literally since I was 9. And that was a big, bold move, but you've often heard it said that you'll not get that next level until you step off of the level that you're at and you let certain things go. So that was a big, bold move. And I have absolutely loved it since then. I still miss cooking some days, but I could still do that here at the house. But letting go of what no longer, you know, it was my life for a very long time, but there's no way that I could grow in that arena anymore. It was time to take all that I had learned over the years about events and serve in a different way. So that was one of my big, bold moves.
I love that. And I think you wrapped in there your biggest learning probably too. And that is, if we want to get to that next level, we've got to let go. But was there anything else that was a big learning for you?
Oh, there's been so many lessons along the way, you know, and this year, of course, has been, you know, filled with lessons. You know, we have not just Encore Elite events where we work with experts, but here locally in Georgia, my husband and I also own Lanier Tent Rental, which is a tent and event rental company. So between March 13th and March 16th, I mean, literally all of the income that we both make bringing into our house was affected. Here locally, $121,000 in canceled events in 3 days. He put a pile of paperwork in front of me on the 16th, which was the result of 3 days of him, just one cancellation after the other for graduations and golf tournaments and events and weddings and everything that part of our business serves. And of course, I was fielding phone calls from speakers and event hosts wondering, what are we going to do now? And I really had to dig in at that time. One, I called my coach. You got to have a coach.
Yes.
You got to call somebody when stuff like that happens. And I called my coach in tears because it was just so big, so quick.
Yes.
She talked me off the ledge, told me we would figure it out. Certainly didn't have all the answers, you know, in the day, but we looked at what we did know, we looked at what we didn't know, formulated a plan for how to move forward in the virtual space. And I had my first virtual summit on March 19th.
That's fast adapting.
So very quickly, reach out to those who can help you and accept that help when you get it. And don't be afraid. You know, I did not know how it would go, but I knew I needed something for my speakers. I knew I needed to do something to not only show me, but show my clients that there was going to be a way through this. So I'm grateful to my coach for talking me through that and grateful for my clients who trusted we were going to do this first virtual summit. And we had a ton of fun. It got everybody out there and it just, you know, was it perfect? Absolutely not. You know, and now what I know about virtual events versus that first one on March 19th, now we've done over 30 virtual events in the last several months. So I'd love to go back and redo that one again, but we did it, you know, and imperfect action will always take you further than waiting for things to be perfect.
And with that mic drop moment, we say, thank you, Danella. That was exquisite wisdom and everything that I totally have had my own experience with and exact same. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, as we're listening in today, you know, you have an opportunity to decide and to choose how you're going to show up as the expert in your space. And I would really encourage you, and almost like I want to inspire you, to step up into a virtual event of some kind this next 12 months. There is no more powerful way to stand out as the authority and the expert. And if you follow my work here, you know that's what you have to do if you want to become the most logical choice. And that's how we amplify authority. So thank you, Danella. And again, please go get her gift. We will link that up in the show notes. But Danella, if you want to say the link one more time, we'll leave our friends with that.
Yes, it is speakersneedtospeak.com/giveaway. And I look forward to you going through that and getting on my calendar and having a conversation with you about virtual events.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for tuning in today, Amplifier. Be sure to join us right now in the Amplify Your Authority community at authorityamplifiers.com, and I'll share my 7 proven tips to be a highly paid expert that stands out in a crowded market. Plus, we're going to keep this conversation going, and I want to hear from you how you're going to amplify your authority and make a greater impact. Before you go, please take a minute to give our show and our guests some love over on your favorite podcasting platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. Leave your full name, and I'll spotlight you and your authority on social media.